He will comfort her waste places and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and a sound of melody. So Isaiah was speaking to those who knew the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the journey of faith was something that he was reminding them about as a people and as a nation. In the same way God looks at us and says, remember all that Jesus has done in your life. Recall to mind, Jeremiah said in Lamentations, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses are new every morning. His compassions never fail. Great is thy what? Faithfulness. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Abraham began his journey of faith as Abram, a father. And then God called him and said, Abraham, look up in the sky. What do you see? Can you count the stars? Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Can you imagine something, Abram? And he said, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham through this journey of faith. And you're not going to be a father, but a father of a multitude of nations. And so his journey begins of faith through the model of Abraham, a man who believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Because he believed, because he trusted. He was called and God told him, count the stars. Because as you see this picture, so shall your descendants be. As you can see all this vision of what I want to accomplish in your life, Abraham, and through your descendants, I'm going to do something exceeding abundantly beyond anything you could ask or think. He called him to count the stars, and then his journey began. As he left the land to pursue his vision, he ended up lying about Sarah, his wife, to save his own hide. He had issues with his brother-in-law, Lot, or his relative, Lot. Wasn't his brother-in-law necessarily. His own effort to try and accomplish the will of God created Ishmael, and his journey was not one without flaw. It was not a perfect journey. It was a journey that was an education, a journey that was a growth, a journey that encountered much change and much transformation, but God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Abraham, look. Isaiah is coming and said, look to the rock from which you were hewn. In our lives, the applicable thing might be the great hymn on Christ, the solid what? Rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Look to where you've come from. Look to what God has done in your life. Look to His faithfulness. Look to His steadfastness, consistent, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We look to Abraham, and we see what he got by trusting in the promise of God. And we take example by him to follow God with an implicit faith. In Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham, he considered his own body as good as dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not grow weary in his faith, but he grew stronger in his faith. That God was able to accomplish what he said he will do. So here's my question today. With all the transformation that's going on around in your world and change and different things happening, what is God speaking to you today about your faith and the application of influence with it? What is God putting on your heart? What is God stirring in your soul? How can we be salt and light? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham had many opportunities to grow weary in well-doing, if you will, or to give up his faith or give up his hope, yet with respect to the promise of God, he took his only son Isaac when said, up on the mountain, we know the story, he raised the knife to sacrifice the promise, and God said, now that I know that you'll obey me, now that I know you'll walk with me, don't extend your hand against the child. And he provided the ram in the thicket and the declaration of God will provide himself the lamb. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. The name of God saying to Abraham, which would open up a portal throughout history to say Christ, the Lamb of God, would take away the sin of the world. So for us, if we have this model of faith, model of believing, in our journey of faith, it's with not without flaw. It's not without failure. It's a process of learning, of growing, of change, of letting go, of having to see God in a way we've never seen Him before. So He renews our minds. So our mindset has to be fixed upon this. Proverbs 21, 30 through 31. How do we do this faith? How do we navigate this model? There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to God. So let's read that again. There is no wisdom, no understanding, and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to God. The essence of this was many armies at that time were just clothed with all kinds of preparation, their horses, their armor, their strategies, and the preparation for battle was not something they took very lightly. Yet Israel as a nation knew at the end of the day, it was not because of might or willpower or their wisdom or their strength or their armor. It was because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be their sustaining force and deliver them in their time of need. And for your life and my life, when we're thinking about our journey of faith and our walk with Christ, and we're saying, Lord, how can I be used to influence culture? How can I be used to touch our city, to change the world? You know, in 20 years, there have been a boatload of people who have come in this door, been here for some many years, some short seasons, some long seasons, and God has touched them. It's not because of us, it's just because God has touched them, just as God's touching people in many other great churches in the city. But in terms of our role and our part and our portion in the city, there's been many people that God has touched their lives and then launched them out. And they're around the world ministering the gospel, being that influence in some cultural sphere of life because they realize it's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom. We're a kingdom-minded people. And so as a result of that, because God's kingdom is always moving and always growing, you're not going to stop it. There's no wisdom against it. There's no understanding against it. There's no counsel against the Lord. His will, everybody say His will, will be accomplished in the earth. He's going to accomplish His will. So our mindset is okay. Let's take what Kenny talked about. Okay, Pastor Mike, we were at the church today, and man, okay, how am I going to reach my city to change the world? Okay, whew, tall order. What am I going to do? Okay, and we feel like that somehow we've got to perform or work harder, and all we have to do is kind of like what Oz Hillman says is just walk humbly, love people, and listen. What is God putting on your heart as an individual follower of Jesus Christ to see somebody else's life get touched with the goodness and the grace of God? Psalm 12:5, because of the devastation of the afflicted, and because of the groaning of the needy, I will arise, says the Lord, and I will set him in the safety for which he longs. Now imagine this, because of the devastation of the afflicted, how many people do you know that are hurting today? Perhaps maybe you're hurting. And you're saying, Lord, what about me? We're going to talk about that in a second. I'm going to answer that question for you. God says, I will arise and I will set him in the safety for which you long. God's heart, like Matthew 9, we talked about, He looks out over the multitudes and He sees them as distressed and downcast like what? Sheep without a shepherd. The world is hurting. The world is in need. The world is full of questions. And God so chooses to use you and I to be that voice of help, to be that voice of assistance, not because we work harder and try harder and strive. No, we realize God will arise because God cares more about this planet than you and I do. He cares more about your neighbor. He cares more about people that are around you every day than you or I. The question is, will we be available? Will we listen? Will we hear what he says to us? Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am He. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? So how many of you know God's in control? Amen? He's in control. He's going to act. He will arise. His name is the same and great among the nations. We sang about that this morning. So once he has set through the cross his will to redeem humanity, he is on a mission. And we are co-laborers with him. The Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. So he comes to mentor us. He's our mentor. Matthew 4:19, Jesus appears after his baptism, and he comes to a group of guys, and he says to them in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you what? So what was the first thing he said to them? Follow me. First order of business, first step, first thing, God comes to them, he says, look, just follow me. And then what was the next thing he said? Who's going to make? I will make you fishers of men. We have in our lives this dual purpose going on, if you will, of the call of God and the construction of God. The call of God, follow me, I'm going to make. Abraham, count the stars. I'm going to make you a father of nations. Look at what I'm giving you, Abraham, in front of you. In every one of your lives here today, God has put something in front of you. It might be just a relationship. It might be a task. It might be a person. It might be a set of circumstances. Something that God has put in front of you. Follow me, and I will make. And throughout their entire journey of 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, he does two things. Follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And then he constructs them. Matthew 6:30, verse 31. If God so clothes, shortly thereafter, he's telling them, the grass of the field which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little what? Faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or with what will we wear for clothing? So you see this pattern throughout the Gospels. Jesus says, follow me. I'm going to make, O ye of little faith. Constantly, Peter, get into the boat. Why did you doubt? The storm comes, come out. He sees Jesus walking in the water. Come out and join me. Peter, being the impulsive, passionate individual he is, jumps out of the boat, and he's walking on water. He's just so excited that Jesus told him to what? Come, follow me. I will make. And Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking, and all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, I can't do this. And he starts to sink. And Jesus immediately grabs him and says, why did you doubt? It's not that he was disappointed as much as he's trying to say, man, you took some steps on the water. There's something higher that God wants to tell us and open our eyes if we will follow his calling, if we will follow his wooing. He will make us. He will shape us. He will make us vessels fit for the master's service. He will fill us up with his grace to meet every need that we're encountering with. Why? Because you didn't dream this up. He called you. He said, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Believe as you go. Believe. With every chapter, And every season of our lives, we learn another lesson of faith. It's in our going that we grow. It's in our going that we grow, not in our staying. It's in our movement where we see faith in action. It's in when we follow, then we're thrust into dynamics and situations where we have to believe God and change and the transformation of what God constantly is doing in our lives is that He's mentoring you in your journey of faith. Because where you're at today, you might be burdened and you might be pained, but your burden is somebody else's blessing. Your situation, your circumstance. It's unique to who you are. It's unique to your journey. It's unique to your story. And through His plan and will, follow me, I will make. God's making you a message. He's creating chapter by chapter, verse by verse, less sentence by sentence, phrase by phrase, your living letter this side of heaven. That to somebody else, you may feel like it's insignificant and just like, well, that's not that big of a deal. But to somebody else, it's a breakthrough. It's what they needed to hear. Eddie would attest to this. There's, as long as we've been pastoring, there have been so many times we would meet with people and talk to them and say something to them, share something about Christ. Maybe they would have a question, try and advise them or encourage them or challenge them on something. And it would be like this, just fall right off. 30 seconds later, 30 minutes later, 30 days later, 3 years later, some person randomly could walk up, say the exact same thing. You're kidding. Oh my gosh, I've never what? Seen that before. Wow. It's about timing. God opens their eyes. Follow me. I will make. It's not up to you or I to make people. That's God's job. It's not up to you and I to fix people. That's God's job. It's not up to you and I to get everybody delivered and heal people. We're just catalysts. We're but stewards. We're but just hands and feet that follow Him and let Him make people. So the burden to change the world is, has never been, nor will it ever be, based upon you and I and our great intellect or our performance. It will all be because of the grace of Almighty God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible when Paul says, I labored more than all, yet not I, but the grace of God. You especially learn this as you get older. You realize, you know what? When I was 30, I thought I knew something. When I was 50, I realized I was an idiot. Oh, come on now. All the 50-year-olds, well, I don't know if I appreciate that. You need I just turned 55 this week. You need about 5 more years, you'll realize it. My wife was sharing a devotional with me, and I thought this was so profound about our journey. And in the phrase, it says, you cannot live in two seasons. You can't live in spring and summer. You can't live in winter and fall. You can't live in fall and winter. Any season you're in, we hate change. More importantly, we hate letting go. Follow me, I will make. Can I pray about that? And we're constantly like this in our lives. We struggle with it. It's hard for us. But yet the essence of the message that we craft is born out of letting go. Why would the plan of redemption come through a brutal cross? It was the wisdom from heaven to teach us that breakthroughs come through letting go, acts of love, giving away, not holding on. With every chapter and season in our lives, we learn a lesson from faith. We go from faith to faith and strength to strength. We are continually challenged to let go Let go of our children and embrace our teenagers. Let go of our teenagers and embrace our adults. Let go of our small thinking and allow God to enlarge our heart. Let go of our religious mindsets and see Christ in a new way. Let go of our hurts and bitterness and embrace the freedom of forgiveness. Let go of what has been comfortable and embrace the adventure of a new door of opportunity. How comfortable are we? Our security is always tested. We have our model. Look to the rock from which you're hewn. God called Abraham to leave his family and go to a land I'm going to show you. Can you imagine in 2014 walking into your wife, "Hun, the Lord spoke to me today, and we're going to pack up all of our stuff, and we're leaving." "What do you mean we're leaving?" "I'm leaving. I quit my job." "We're moving." "Where are you going?" "I don't know." "What kind of job are you going to have?" "I really don't know the answer to that either." How many of us would call 911 and say, "This person needs some help"? That's how the essence of it. Now, obviously, we believe in pragmatism and planning. But that was kind of what God was saying. Follow me. And the essence of this is I will make you fishers of men. God knows where you are today, and you're not alone. He is watching over his word to perform it in your life. So here's my question for you today. How will you grow through the model, having the right mindset, embracing the mentoring program you're in with Jesus Christ? How will you grow in your journey of faith, and as a result, provide influence in the seven cultural mountains? Again, let me read those to you one more time. They are arts and entertainment, business, education, family, government, media, and religion. And influence is a result of our love, our humility, and our obedience to God. Not a goal to be achieved. It is the fruit of our obedience. So as we're closing today, how do we influence? Follow me. Yielding to let him make you. Let him craft you. Let him shape you. Because every aspect of your life is part of the answer somebody else is looking for. How do we do this practically? Okay, well, give me some practical suggestions. Number one, everything begins through the example of what Jesus did. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. How did he do it? He came as a suffering servant. Our first, we serve and we provide acts of kindness. We follow Christ's model. Now, how many of you all remember the story from last week about Brian Anderson? Okay? For those of you who weren't here, I'll have to briefly give this to you. Going back, I want to tie this story together with this concept and this thought today. Brian Anderson has a random act of, has an act of kindness to help this lady who has a Mercedes. Her car's broken down. She's been there for hours. He comes in. He introduces himself because he's dirty. He's a little bit scary looking to her, and she feels threatened. But because he said, "You don't have to be afraid. I'm Brian Anderson, and I'm going to help you," and he helps her car and fixes it. She goes to the diner later that day. She sees the waitress, right? She sees the waitress. She's been there all day on her feet. She's exhausted. She looks tired. Her hair is sweaty, and she's like 8 to 9 months pregnant. And the lady looks at her, and Brian Anderson's, I missed part of the story, Brian Anderson's first response is, "Look, you don't have to pay me anything to fix your car. Just be kind. As I have helped you, help someone else." So the lady takes the message. She goes to the diner. She sees a young lady. She takes a $100 bill, lays it on the napkin. "You don't owe me any change for the meal that this young lady has served her, as hard as she's worked and as this lady has observed her." And then as the lady picks up the $100, she says, "You don't owe me any change. Just extend some kindness to somebody else along the way and help them." And of course, under the story goes, under the napkin, there's other $100 bills, so she not only has to pay for the meal, which probably wasn't $100, but she has quite a bit of money, and she goes home, unbeknownst to us, to her husband, who was very stressed about their finances and the baby that was coming. And she says, look, provision was made. And she gives him a kiss on the cheek, and it's her husband, Brian Anderson. The connecting point is this. Provision in your life, my life, comes through service. It's when we choose to extend a hand of love and we extend a hand of grace to somebody, we pay it forward, kind of like the old movie. You pay something forward. You are a living epistle, and so you share that love with somebody else. And out of that, God knows your need. It could be monetary. It could be maybe you need a word of encouragement. And your answer to get a word of encouragement is not sitting there going, why aren't you giving me a word of encouragement? God says, hey, encourage somebody else and see what happens to you. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you need some understanding. It's as you help others and serve others and love them and you provide acts of kindness that God knows exactly where you're at today. He knows how to ease your pain, or he knows how to answer your question, or he knows how to provide for you whatever type of provision you may need. So we serve. Number two, we listen to people's story, and you tell them yours. Listen to somebody's story, tell them yours. Because your story matters. It matters to God, and God's writing in it. Follow me, and I will make. And then number three, if I could ever encourage you to do something, and this is a little bit radical, might be radical for some of you, pray for them. Pray for them. And what I mean by that is anybody will say, hey, well, look, can I pray for you? And they'll say, yeah, sure, sure, okay. And you pray right then. Now, that will freak them out, but it may not. But most of the world, if you look at them today and say, hey, can I just pray for you? You may not believe in prayer, but I do. And I mean, I'm not going to embarrass you. And I've qualified the whole, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to, you know, start twitching or something. I'm really just going to be very normal. I'm not going to get loud. I promise you. But can I just pray? And just be very natural, very real, and very genuine. And just say, Lord, I just pray for this person today. God, you know where they're at. You've done so much in my life. Would you help them today? In Jesus' name, amen. It's not your responsibility to fix them. Follow me. I will make. God's mission, he's on a mission to change the world. We're just joining up and running with him as co-laborers of Christ. In your journey of faith, we grow as we go. And watch what God will do through your life. And then our story, your story, our story, becomes what God's doing with us. And you know what? When we share these stories, starting next Sunday through our series, How Great Thou Art, we've got some great stories of how people have counterbalanced the weight and pressures of life with the greatness of our God. Our story makes us better together than we are as individuals. It makes us better as a people. It makes us collectively realize, wow, look what happened in this person's life. Look what happened in that person's life. Amen. Let's all stand together and we'll dismiss. Lord, we thank you for your grace today. Thank you, Father, that every one of us in this room today, we are on a path, walking with you. We've responded to the call of God because we're kingdom-minded men and women. And we see, Father, that you want to do something in this planet, in this earth. And we see things going on around the world, and you've strategically placed us in various spheres of life and arenas of life and various relationships. Lord, help us to see this fall and going into next year, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, why am I here, Lord? You've got me in this place, or you've got me in this season, and you're creating change, or you're doing something. Lord, show me your plan. And Lord, show us your plan for our lives. So that it, with each chapter and each season and each step, we recognize, follow me, and you will make. As we yield our lives to you and we let go of one thing to embrace another, to follow after you, Lord, show us how you're going to use us. Show us your plan. Help us to serve those around us through random acts of kindness, through acts of kindness. Help us to listen to others' story, difficulty, hardship, burdens they might be carrying, and then tell them, well, this is what the Lord's done for me. And then number three, help us to pray for them so that they can see, Father, not because of us, our might, our wisdom, or our skill, but because of the greatness of your grace. Lord, you are all about touching people's lives, transforming individuals, speaking to hearts, changing cities, changing nations, by making us your hands and your feet. Lord, I pray for every person here today, those that are carrying burdens, those that are hurting, those who are groping for an answer. Lord, I just ask you that you would come this morning and let them know they're not alone. That you see where they're at. Lord, help us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Help us to believe. Look to the model of faith. Look to the rock from which we are here. And on, Father, on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Help us to have a right mindset that you will arise, you will act, and no one can reverse it. That there's more with them today than against them. And you are their very present help in time of need. Lord, let them know, Father, that while there's weeping for the night, a shout of joy comes in the morning. And that your grace is more than enough to help them in their time of need. And last, Father, as you intersect our lives with others, help us to pray for them, trusting that the maker of heaven and earth, through your word, Father, will touch their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. Please do so. So glad to have you today. Drop it off at our resource center, at our information center at the front. We have a special gift we'd like to give you for coming today. And you don't want to miss next Sunday as we have our start a two-part series on how great thou art. So you don't want to miss that. So we'll see you next Sunday, and you're dismissed.